listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilkins bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome all you listeners wherever you're at on the internet, on the radio, listening here. And so we welcome you as we do every Saturday. Pastor Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart, Florida. We have for 22 years. God gave us a name way back out of Revelation 19:10. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. So our ministry is called Spirit of Prophecy Ministries.
Amen.
So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And we enjoy this time with you because we're wanting to show you some things in the Word that will give you a deeper walk with our Lord and to understand some things maybe in the Scripture that people have not understood in the past. Because you heard our intro.
Amen.
We do a lot with the Jewish things and the Hebrew understanding. As we do, there's a depth in the Word that we need to understand that we can only get it from that group of people that God gave the Word to down through the years. Quite a few people. In fact, we got 66 books in the Bible. But with the understanding with the Hebrew and the Greek language and even all that, we just see a lot of things that most people maybe don't see or don't ever think about. And so we're not talking about being, I'm not talking about being a Greek geek here. I'm just talking about just natural things that God wants us to know. Even with understanding the culture, the customs, and the mannerisms in the Jewish religion. And they do a lot of it today. But a lot of it's tradition, we know, it's been handed down. But it's some wonderful things that we can show them.
Amen.
We've been talking about this commentary, this book that I wrote called The Pictures of the Messiah that we offer for $25 and a couple of $3 for shipping. But I think I have a lesson in there about the Jewish wedding. The key 12 steps of a Jewish wedding tells you the whole, with the Judaism behind, shows you the whole picture of what Christ came to earth to do and what He's going to give us and all the rest of it. So it's incredible. Even the 7 days they stay in the kupa, after they get married, they don't come out for 7 days, which is the pattern of us being in heaven with the Lord for 7 years. And then at the end of Jacob's trouble, we're all going to come out with him. So it's incredible. All the things we can find out when we know the Judaism, especially in the Word of God. And Paul, remember, he wrote a lot of the New Testament, 2/3 of it. And Peter and James and those men, all they understood was what they were taught and raised in with the Judaism that God gave them to understand the Word of God. And so we look at some of the things that they say, and if we can hook it in with the Hebrew thought and what God was doing with them way back and the customs and the manners at that particular time. Well, then it brings the Scriptures to life and you'll find out some things. You say, wow, I never knew that. Well, it's right here in the Bible. It's never not been here. It's been here for all these years. And so it's incredible what we have in the Word of God. So we welcome you to the program. We greet you with the charity and love of God. And we trust, as we said, that you can stay in for the whole program. And we'll open up. Donna's got a couple of things she wants to mention here. I want to touch on a little bit that we talked about last week about the triangles and glory be to God and the Trinity. I don't like the word Trinity because it's not in the Bible. It's really the Godhead, and see some things that's been revealed, and we'll just touch on some of that to kind of review that. And if somebody would like to get last week's teaching plus what we're going to talk about a little bit today, all we ask for is a love offering, and you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail it to Post Office Box 413, And that's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip there is 34995. And we'll be glad to mail it out to you. Just ask for a CD or a tape, whichever you want. And remember the date. Last week was what? I'm trying to remember. It was the 7th, February the 7th of 2015. So my beautiful wife sitting across the desk from me, honey.
Thank you, Lord.
Would you like to, you got a few announcements you'd probably like to make. And then we'll start sharing a little bit with all the listeners that they might be blessed, not because of you and I, but because of the Word of God and what God is revealing through His anointed Word. Hallelujah. Go ahead, honey.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I just want to give a telephone number and let you know that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. And we're starting a class today, this afternoon, and it's a class on witnessing.
Wow.
And amen. And lots of people have come to the Lord through this class. So I would just, if you'd like to witness or you want to know more about witnessing, you want to be prayed for, to encouraged, you know, just to go out and to be that witness that we're supposed to be, you know, and share the gospel and lead someone to the Lord. Amen. So that class will be at 4:00 this afternoon. And we also do have dance ministry and worship with flags and banners. And that's classes at 2:00. So you can give us a call and we can tell you more about that. We also have prayer tonight at 6:00. And tomorrow we'll have our fellowship meal on Sunday. We'll have our fellowship meal for the month. Amen. But for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be having this class on Saturday on witnessing. So I would say it's going to be really good. So be blessed. You can be blessed by that. Otherwise, we have services on Friday night, 7 p.m. And then we have our Saturday meetings, which I mentioned already. And then we have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. Amen. So it's a joy to be on the radio program today.
Amen.
Right, Pastor Gene? Amen.
That's right, to encourage you all.
That's right. So I want to give the telephone number here if you want to call, if you want to order that commentary Pastor Gene talked about. And we do have Esther. The season of Purim is coming up.
Yep.
And that's going to be the very beginning of March. And so we will be having a special, if you want to mark that down, the very first Saturday of March, we will be having a special service on the book of Purim. So kind of like a little play and some acting out and some music, some dancing, and some different things. And the ministry team, the dance team, is working on something there for that.
All revealed in Esther.
The mystery of Esther. It's really, God's name isn't mentioned once, but
he's on every page, isn't he?
He's on every page, and it's a very prophetic book, and so we all need to know more about that. Amen.
Amen.
So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that again. It's area code 772-285-7007. We're blessed to be here. We want to say hello to all you out there, Radio Land, also on the internet. You can listen to us on the internet. You can listen to programs we've done in the past. There's several, I don't know, quite a few, a lot of programs on there. So you can just go to WCNO.com. So if you happen to be riding down the road and you want to listen to us again next Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, or you want to go listen to the podcast, you can go to WCNO.com and just go to Saturday, and it's either going to be live at 12 noon, or you go to Saturday, and you can listen to this program or others again. Amen. So that's a real blessing to have WCNO and on the internet.
Amen.
Praise God.
So we're honored to be here with you, as we are every week. We've been on this program now 17 plus years.
17 years.
It seems hard to believe, but that's how long it's been. But anyway,
wow.
It's been a wonderful journey, and we've taught a lot of things over the years. And some of you that are listening right now have listened for years and years, we know. And some of you, maybe we've never heard from, but heaven will tell one day. But a lot of you have called and encouraged us, and we thank you for your prayers. And remember, this program is not free. And so if you'd like to
send an offering, we certainly would appreciate that. You could send it to, you could call us, or you could send it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And that's 34995. And we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island.
In the Bahamas.
Let them know
Temple of God.
We're going to give them a call. We've got our passports.
That's right.
Came in, so...
They came in, so now we got to try somehow
plan.
Now
we want to plan the trip to go over and see them, the Temple of God on Andros Island, and see Roscoe and Audrey. And that building is going to be going up very soon. And right now they've been ministering in a big tent for how many years now?
Quite a few years. I've lost track. It's a lot of years, yeah. So
they're preparing to build.
They're working
on it. So if you'd like
it.
To, if the Lord lays it on your heart, and maybe you're from Andros Island, or maybe you're from the Bahamas, and you'd like to see a spirit-filled prophetic church, apostolic and prophetic church
on
Andros Island,
that's right.
In the Bahamas. And so, you know, perhaps you'd like to help purchase some of the materials. Every single penny that comes in for them goes to building the church and getting materials to build the building. Amen. The foundation's already down.
Yeah.
And so now
it won't be a tent, it'll be with walls now.
The walls need to go up.
That's
amen.
Right.
The walls need to go up. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, one block at a time. Amen.
That's right. So if you'd like to make an offering mm-hmm. for that, it's good soil.
Just
make out the check the same way to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail it to the address we mentioned, Post Office Box 413, I'll say it a moment, in Stuart, Florida. The zip is 34995, and just mark it on there for the Temple of God on Andros Island. And if you don't know how to spell thousand, it's THOUSAND. They can certainly use that. Could many ministries use that? And so they're working on it little by little. And so they're excited about it.
You know, they're from the Bahamas.
That's
They've
right.
lived here in America for many years, raised their children here. But God called them back. And, you know, many times God calls us back. So I'm just sensing that somebody's listening that's from the Bahamas.
Amen.
And that they would like to sow a seed in good ground.
Sure.
And nothing better than sowing some seed in good ground where you may have family or
that's
where,
right.
you know, where you're from. These are your people as well. So so that's how they felt to go back. And even though their children are grown and living in America, God called them back. So they just, because they obey, they love God and they want to obey God, that they went, you know. And so God is blessing them, amen.
Like the Bible said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So you put it in good soil, it's going to come back. So we're honored to be here with you. I want to say hello to a real good friend of mine. His name is Harley. So I hope he's listening in today with us. And so praise God. And so we're honored to be here with you. So we're going to touch a little bit about what we talked about last week. And if you weren't able to listen, you can get this tape or CD from last week, and it can fill in some things. We were talking last week about...
You're going to blow our minds away again?
No, not
Hallelujah.
Just, just going to touch on some things we talked about last week, because we went over it pretty fast, but I'm not going to go into great depth, but you can get the tape from last week, and we talked about it quite a bit, but it's an incredible thing in the Word of God. And, you know, we know that God is God. People say it's trendy, but God is the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so you think about it.
And they're equal parts.
They're equal.
They're one,
that's
really.
Right.
They're
he's
not.
Like an equilateral triangle, you know, like three sides. They're all the same length, you know, and all. And they all line up. They're equal in attributes, qualities, everything they want to bring.
You can't have an equilateral triangle without having three equal sides.
That's right. So that's what you have. And so the people call him the Trinity, but it's really the Godhead. And so there's a code that we talked about last week in an article that I read in a magazine that I got from Prophecy in the News, I thought was interesting. And it's about the 153 fish over in John chapter 21, verse 11. And you read over there, they pulled in that net. They saw Jesus on the shore. Didn't recognize him right away, but they finally did. And so it says they pulled in this huge net. They fished all night long. And so Jesus told them to cast their net on the other side. And so Peter was obedient to that. And they drug all these fish in. Now, it doesn't say that Peter and the men counted those fish. It just said there was 153 fish. God knew how many were there. Men don't sit around and count 153 fish. So there's a purpose for this to teach us something. And I really believe this after studying all this and looking at this. This is basically like a resurrection code. Because if we read verse 14 in chapter 21 of John, it says, this is now the third time, here's our third, the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So it's a code showing us about the resurrection. And so some interesting things when we think about triangles. And I studied engineering, was an electronic engineer for quite a few years and all before we got into the ministry and all that. And I always loved math in a lot of areas. But the man that wrote this article is incredible. He's got a master's in math, and so he knows a lot about numbers. So he got looking at this also. And I've been thinking, wondering about this 153 fish myself for a lot of years. What's it all about? One point in time, somebody was teaching several years ago that when he got this thought, he said, well, there must be about 153 nations in the world. There's a lot more than that today, isn't there, Donna? A lot more nations than 153. So we got talking about that, about the triangle. And you and I, we are also what? We're a Trinity also. We're spirit, soul, and body. Everything's in the threes. It's incredible. So we got looking at this last week and delved into it a little bit and found out some interesting things. And so in the article that this man wrote in this book I'm reading about as well, he did things with threes, in other words, with triangles. So he took the numbers like 153. He took 1, 5, and 3, and he raised it to the third power. So he cubed it. And so he took all the numbers and he cubed it. And so like the 153 is an interesting thing. We talked about that, and you can do that. If you want to do that at home, he took the number 153, right? So you take 1, raise it to the third power, and then you take 5 and raise it to the third power, and then you take 3 and raise it to the third power. And if you do that, well, of course, 1 times 1 times 1 is what? 1. And then you take 5 times 5 times 5 equals what? 125. And you take 3 times 3 times 3, that equals 27. So then you add 1 plus the 125 plus 27, and it comes out to 153. It's an incredible code. And this is the only number that comes out on the very first layer that you put it in. Now, some of the others you have to go down. I was thinking about this today, honey, before we go on. I'm not going to go into a lot of length, but I wanted to mention a couple of things. So what we have when we have these outcomes and we go down these layers, there's finally what we have at the end is what a terminal image that will come. Well, if you take any number under 2,000, if it's divisible by 3, it's going to all come down to the number 153 as you take it down through these powers. We're talking about threes, you know, when we cube the numbers and all that. And so we did that last week with you, but I did this, and I thought this was kind of interesting. Remember, a triangle has three angles in it. We asked this on church on Sunday, and only one person knew what those angles were. Was it 20, 90 degrees? What were the angles? Well, there's three angles in here, and they're all 120 degrees. You know, you have an obtuse triangle, you have an acute triangle, you can have an equilateral triangle. They've got all these different triangles, but all the angles have to add up to, what, 360. And so we have this with this perfect triangle we're talking about with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I did this last week, and I think I mentioned on the program. So I took the number, you take all three of those angles, you come up with 360 degrees. So that's an interesting number, isn't it, right there? It's a complete number. All right, so what I did then was I took the number 360. So I took 3 and I took it to the third power, plus 6, and I cubed that as well, and then 0, I cubed that. So you come up then with a number 27, 3 cubed is 27, 6 cubed is 216, of course, 0 cubed is 0. So the number then becomes 243. We're talking about layers now to bring it down to the resurrection code. So then you take 243. And so there's 2, 4, and 3 in that number. So I took 2 to the third power plus 4 to the third power plus 3 to the third power. So what do we have? Well, 2 cubed is 8. 4 cubed is 64, and 3 cubed is 27. So I add those up, 8 plus 64 plus 27, and you come up with a number 99, okay? So then I did the same thing with that again. We're going to take it down another layer. I took 9 cubed plus 9 cubed. So 9 cubed is 729 plus 729. So now we have a number, when we add those up, of 1,458. It seems like they're getting bigger, but we'll find out here. It's not going to conclude that way. So here we go. We got a 1, a 5, I'm sorry, a 1, a 4, a 5, and an 8 that we have to cube and raise to the third power. So 1 cubed is 1. We take the next number. 4 cubed is 64. 5 cubed, the next number was 125. And then 8 cubed is 512. So then we add all those up and we come to another number. Now in the next layer, it's 702 now. So now we do the same thing with that. We have 7, a 0, and a 2 in this. So we take 7, we cube it, we take 0, we cube it, and we take 2 and we cube it. So we come up with 7 cubed is 343 plus, you know, 0 cubed is 0 plus 2 cubed is 8. So now we have a number of 351. All right? This was the sixth layer we're going down. Now we do the same thing with the number 351. 3, 5, 1. Those three numbers have to be cubed. So we take 3 to the cubed plus 5 cubed plus 1 cubed. So we have this. All right. Glory be to God. 3 cubed is 27. 5 cubed, we mentioned that a little bit ago, was 125. And then 1 cubed is 1. So we add those three numbers up. And this is on the seventh outcome as we add these numbers up. We take 27 plus 125 plus 1, and you come up with 153.
So amen.
Brings you back to that point.
What you've been calling, we can call the resurrection code.
Right, like that's what code. He called it, yeah.
You know, I think that if I remember right, when math, when you did the first one, isn't it called like a plane?
Mm-hmm.
It's like just one level, one layer.
One layer.
And many times in our minds, we only see things on a plane.
On a level,
we don't see the depth of the, even I'm thinking about the scriptures or anything. We don't see the depth of something.
Mm-hmm.
But when we do this, we start, and it always comes out to a cube.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think about the four corners of the earth, you know, and the depth of things. And and each year that's added on. See, that first year when Yeshua walked the earth, there were only so many people that were saved.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be like the plane.
Yeah.
You know, the five. The
basically
first,
like
the
started
one, the
it,
plane,
right?
The plane, the starting of it.
Mm-hmm.
But as the years went on, you know, and then 500 years, 1,000 years, now we're almost, now 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we're seeing that if we can look at it in this multiplication way, which always comes back to the 153, showing that is the resurrection code. There's no other way to be saved except through Jesus. He's
That's
the
right.
one who brought in the 153 fish. He's the one who brought them in to the shore. He's the one that kept the net from tearing, you know. It was his power and his strength. It wasn't anything that the fishermen could do. And he's the one that told them, Jesus is the one that told them to throw the net on the other side. In other words, they had the net on the wrong side. They were trying to catch literal fish. Well, Jesus said, was showing them that they were going to be catching a different kind of fish. They were be catching fishers of men. So
Amen.
He said, throw it on the right side. And a lot of times we think, well, there's a left side and there's a right side. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what Jesus was saying was, you're on the wrong side. You're doing the wrong thing. You know, you're looking at things the wrong way. I taught you a different way. I taught you to go out and to draw in men.
Mm-hmm.
Because even then after that, and that kind of backs up what I'm saying, is he kept asking him, do you love me? Do you love me?
Asking three times.
Yes,
didn't he?
Three times.
In Trinity, yeah.
And he said, and you can even take that, and that's to your third power right there.
That's
this
right.
Holy Spirit just gave me this.
Mm-hmm.
That's to your third power. And so he's saying, if you love me, then you will going to feed my sheep.
Yep.
You're going to feed my lambs, the first thing he said. And then he said, you're going to feed my sheep, and you're going to feed my sheep twice.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's this three again.
Mm-hmm.
Three times. Why did he have to do it three times? You see, Jesus said things in mysteries and parables and codes.
Yes, he did.
And so I see this, in the normal, we look at things in the on a plane. But even the things you see in TV and the sci-fi and all this stuff, you know, they're showing things in depth.
Right.
In dimensions.
In different dimensions,
in
right.
dimensions. And so when we do this, we're seeing the depths and the dimensions of how the church can grow.
Right.
By what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look at we're almost 2,000 years, right, have gone
yeah.
by, because a lot of people say 2,000 years have gone by. But if you
we're
look,
close. Getting there.
2,000 years have gone by if you're counting from his birth. But if you're counting from when the church started or his resurrection, 2,000 years hasn't come, we haven't come to that
not
2,000
yet.
Years. We're very, very close.
That's right.
But we have not come to that.
Mm-hmm.
And we go back in the Bible and it says after 2 days. So we haven't really totally completed 2 days from the resurrection of Christ, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So here we are, and what you're showing is you're showing the cube. See, it's, and everything is going to come out to be a cube. You know, you know the Rubik's Cube, how people used to play with the Rubik's Cube
uh-huh.
and try to figure that out. And some people can do it, and some people could try forever, and they still can't figure out this Rubik's Cube. But you see, it's a cube. It's a perfect cube. And every single one of these numbers that you're working with will end up in a cube. It won't be one plane or two planes or three planes. It'll be the plane of whatever number you're using.
That's right.
And so it's whatever you're using is going to be the cube of that number. You know, it'll be the plane of that number and also the cube of that number when it's finished. So God is going to bring things to me, a completion.
That's right.
So I just sense that's just... It's pretty awesome to think that he's looking at this as down through time, and bringing in more and more and more people. But it's always going to be with the same combination. See, the combination is Jesus. He's the only
all
way.
Points back to Jesus.
Many people think there's other ways to come to the
That's
Father.
Right.
They think that there's many ways. Some people think there's many ways. And you
mm-hmm.
see on all these cars, around, driving around, and you see all these different religious symbols. Well, we're going to be one.
That's right.
Jesus,
not coexist
the
either.
We're going to coexist. The Bible says that there's only one way.
Jesus only one
said,
way.
And there's only one. You know, you have that equilateral triangle, and you can't take one side off of that and still have. You can't take and have the Godhead. You
can't have it.
You can't take away the Holy Ghost. You can't
have all three.
Away God. You can't take away have only God.
That's right.
You wouldn't have an equilateral triangle.
That's right.
And so here we have. You have to have a perfect equilateral triangle. We have to have the Godhead. You know, some people say, "Well, I only worship God." Other people say, "I only worship Jesus only." You know, they think God was for the Old Testament and Jesus for the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people, you know, they don't even want anything to do. They don't even know anything about the Holy Spirit. Even after Jesus resurrected, they said, we don't know anything about the Holy. What is the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, never knew
they even
asked,
they
thing,
didn't
yeah.
even know
yeah.
so that there was such a thing.
That's
you
right.
know. And so then they were baptized again in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
There's
Holy
another
Ghost.
There's another Trinity, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so you think about those fish and those men fishing. You know, Jesus even had the meal prepared, already cooked.
That's right.
And they came up on the beach and they didn't have to take any of those 153 because
nope.
they didn't represent fish that you're going to eat.
That's right. Fish that's going to come in the future.
They represented fish that were going to come into the kingdom of
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus wasn't there. I mean, sure, Jesus fed people and he fed them. But what did he always do? The food always led to him teaching about the kingdom of God, kingdom
right.
of heaven. And so those fish, those 153 fish represented the ones that are going to come into the kingdom, not for food to eat.
And the only way that they can get into the kingdom of God is because of Jesus Christ's resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's key about it. You know, I thought about this, Pastor. We talked mm-hmm. about this last week a little bit. You know, we have a Trinity in the world that we're in. We have matter, all kinds of things, okay. We have space and we have time. And you can read that. I mentioned that on Sunday. In Genesis 1:1, it tells us, it says, in the beginning, this means the time, God created what? Matter, all the planets were created.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, and the heaven and the earth. Well, what's that then? That's we're heaven's space. We live in space. No, this planet's floating through space. So it's incredible when we think about this. So talking about these numbers, they have to be a number less than 2,000. Now, the oracle, he didn't think it had anything to do with the years, but I believe it does because we talked about this last week a little bit in Hosea 6:1-2. It talks about after 2 days, prophetically, that would be after 2,000 years. So the numbers we're looking at have to be below 2,000, and they have to be divisible by 3. And if they are, it's going to always come down to the conclusion of the resurrection code, which is 153. And how many, and this man studied this with a computer, how many numbers do you think there are between 1 and 2,000 that are divisible by 3? You ready for this? 666, which is Satan's number. He likes to counterfeit all this, but he's not going to do it.
You know, 666 is the number of man is also 6, right?
Right.
And so you could look at it this way. 6 is 6. That's going to be the completion of what God's going to do with man on the earth.
Absolutely. So this little scenario I took you through a moment ago with the 360 degrees, that came down to the seventh level when we got to 153. Well, that's God's complete number. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's incredible. So we see all this and the Bible.
It's going to be a fulfillment of things that are going to happen on the earth.
That's right.
And you know, Satan's going to come to the end of his work.
Right.
Praise God.
Yeah.
And then you know God's going to set up the catching away is going to come, and God's going to take care of
right.
the enemies of God and the nations that wouldn't come and worship that don't believe. God's going to finish. He's going to finish it.
Now I did something last week and I talked about it at church. If you know, we have a thing called gematria. In Hebrew, there's a number assigned to every Hebrew letter. In
right.
the Greek, there's a number assigned to every single letter. Well, I did this.
And I had that on the calendar. If
right.
anybody would like a copy of the
sure.
calendar for February, I know the month is, it's going by pretty,
it's almost
pretty quickly.
Half over, yeah.
That's right. But on this calendar, I have the number value of every single alphabet letter, and there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, plus there's some finals which also have numbers as well. I think there's five
That's
or
right.
six finals. So you know, like with like the first letter is one,
mm-hmm.
and God is one.
That's right.
Amen. And the second letter bet is two, and that represents Yeshua.
That's right. That's
we've
right.
got our triangle right here in the first mm-hmm. three letters, and the third letter is gimel, and that one represents the Holy Spirit because they all have different things that they mean as well.
That's right.
The smallest Hebrew letter is the Yod, And its value is 10, and it represents the hand, the strong hand and arm of God.
Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, yeah.
Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, that's right. It's just really awesome. And, you know, we talked about door. That door represents the like the four corners of the earth, or there's an open door. God opened the door. You think about the door that they were supposed to put the blood over in the wilderness and before they went into the out of Egypt, you know.
That's right.
The blood. And then, of course, this year is the year of hay because it's 5775. And the word hey is a really powerful word.
Hey!
Hey!
We've been doing that at church.
Hey! Hey you, that means grace.
That's right.
Grace, and it means many other things. And it's also a picture of a window. You know, God's, we need to look through the window with God's eyes and see what he is wanting to show us in these last days.
That's right.
So these letters are very powerful, and they all have their own. Everyone, that's how the Hebrew use the numbers. It's not like we do, you know, A, B, C. That they don't represent numbers, but the Hebrew alphabet does represent numbers, and it goes up to 900 is the last number.
It's interesting how God uses these numbers, and I mentioned last week a little bit. I don't know what I did on the radio program they did at church. You know, the gematria of Jesus' name in the Greek is 8. The number is 888, okay?
That's a new beginning.
That's new beginnings. He is a new beginning.
And that's why you see a lot of Jewish people, they wear the letter Chet.
Uh-huh.
It's a Chet. It's an 8. And they say it's good luck or it's for blessings.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's partially true about the Chet. So it's the 8. So even way back when, people that I've known from the time I was a kid, I'd see this little thing on the, what is that? And I say, well, that's a check. That's for good luck.
Right.
And so, you know, 8 is new beginnings. And if they get born again, they're gonna have a lot more than good luck. So
that's right.
Praise the Lord.
So I thought about something else last week about this 888. I took the resurrection code number we've been talking about is 153. So I did this just to see what it would come out. So I took 153 from 888, and I came up with a number of 735. Well, I did the same thing with the triangles, and I came down. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It was the sixth level, all right? The sixth outcome was the number 153. So it's showing us that Jesus and also the resurrection code of 153 is all talking about man. Six is man's number. Came down the sixth level. The other one was the seventh level, which was God's completion. Now, another thing I did, I just picked out some common numbers in the Bible and see if they were divisible by three. Well, the first one I looked at was 1,290 days. It is divisible by three. So you take that down also in these outcomes, these levels, and when you get down to the end of it, you come out to 153. It's all about the resurrection.
How many levels was that?
That was six. And then I took 1,335. It had one more level, okay?
Where'd you get that number?
These are the numbers in Daniel chapter 12, talking about the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble and the conclusion. So remember, it's going to be 1,290 days. And then it says, blessed are those that will come to the 1,335th day. So I took that number, and it all comes down also and closes out with the number 153. It's all a code to show us about the resurrection of our Savior. It's incredible. It really is.
Thank you, Lord.
It sure is. So anyway.
So even the things that are in the First Testament line up with all the things that Jesus said.
That's right. So it's incredible.
Because he is the Word.
That's right.
And in John 1, it says, you know, the Word. He's the Word. And it's just what you read over, and also in the, I'm just going to read it because I don't almost quote it at all. It says, in the beginning. You read back there in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning.
That's the time. In the beginning.
Was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jesus. And the Word, or Jesus, was with God. And the Word was God.
Hallelujah.
So they were face to face
in
the garden.
That's right.
Hallelujah. In the beginning.
Now talking about the thirds though, honey, which we got right in that verse, we have three things that God has.
Three words.
There's time, there's matter, and there's what, and space. This planet of ours is floating around in space, okay? But I thought about this about threes also. If we go to Zechariah chapter 13, we have two verses here that's really key to show this. Amen. Verse 7 says this, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Now these next two verses are key. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off. That's two-thirds, in other words, and die. But the third, the one-third, shall be left therein. So here's our triangles thought again. And then verse 9, and I will bring the third part through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold. And all this, it tells you, so there's a third. There's going to be a remnant. A third is going to be saved. Amen.
talks about a third part of Israel's.
Third part.
Well, wow.
So it shows you there that two-thirds are going to not make it. But see, God wants us all to be in the one-third, in that third.
Isn't this awesome that the Lord gave this to John? And it's just, I'm going to read several more verses because it's so powerful about the Word and, mm-hmm. and the power of God.
In the beginning was the Word.
In the beginning was the Word.
In the beginning of time, yeah.
Jesus was there in heaven with God in the beginning.
And
the Word was with God.
That's right.
He was with God. He's always been with God.
Face to face with God.
Even before his Father sent him to earth, he was with God, always there.
That's right.
He says, and the Word was God. Mm-hmm. Jesus is God. So we should not ever think that we can say Jesus is God, because Jesus is God.
Absolutely.
He says, the same was in the beginning with God. So Jesus is God.
So he's not a God, is he? He's the...
This is showing the Godhead.
That's right.
The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him.
Yep. There's your matter.
Mm-hmm. All things matter. Mm-hmm. All things were made by him. And without him, without Jesus, was not anything made that was made.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. In him was life. He's our life. He gives us eternal life. And the life was the light of men. He's the one who lights our spirit, our spirit.
Amen.
Man. And we become born again. And we become like him. We have Christ in us. Amen. The hope of glory. And we can, we know God. We can know God through Jesus Christ. He says, and the light shineth in the darkness. Where's the darkness? In the world. Because
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of darkness and sin in the world. And the darkness comprehended it not. Wow. This was John saying this.
That's right. It's incredible.
John got this
the
word.
The apostle. Right at the beginning of the
There
of
was
his,
a man
gospel.
Sent from God.
Whoosh.
Whose name was John. Can you imagine?
That's right.
John leaped in his mother's womb before he was even born.
That's right.
In his mother Elizabeth's womb, you know. The same came for a witness.
Yes.
To bear witness of the light. John came for a witness.
That's right.
That all men through him, through who? Jesus, might believe. He was not the light. In other words, John saying, I'm not the light, but was sent. I was sent to bear witness of that light. And my Bible has it capitalized. Everywhere you see light. Verse 9. That was the true light. Jesus. Remember they were looking to go and find out. Being baptized by John, but John was leading them to Jesus. He was pointing them to the Messiah.
Absolutely.
But he was the one who was leading them, pointing them. He was the one that was sent to wake up the people to know that they were, you know, in sin and that they needed to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
They needed the truth.
That's right.
Verse 9. That was the true light, he's saying Jesus is, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So every single person, Jesus didn't come just for some. He didn't come just for the Jewish people. He came that all could be saved, that they could all have light, be lighted, light every man that cometh into the world.
Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. It's incredible when we think about
Thank
what
you,
we
Father.
Have. That's right.
God is good.
Sure is.
He sent his only begotten Son to come and to live here and to be that example for us and to pay that price. He put his own, allowed his own Son to go on that cross. You know, Jesus said he could have called all the angels. He could have called.
That's right. That's what he told Pilate. He could have called a legion of angels. And
but he knew that he had
a purpose
and a plan.
The plan of God.
God had a plan.
That's
God
right.
had a plan for mankind that they might
mm-hmm.
know, that they might come into know the light of God and come into his kingdom. Because that's his purpose. He wants the kingdom of heaven to be. Many to come into the kingdom of heaven, not to go to hell. You know, people never. We were talking the other day, and you said, you know, people, you never really die. Well, we don't. No one ever really dies.
We're talking about spiritually now.
That's right, because
you know, one day we're going to be resurrected also, whether to the evil place or to be in a good place with the Lord.
That's right.
So we never die.
That's right. It says the dead in Christ will rise first, right?
That's right.
And then those who are alive, so there's going to be some that won't die.
That's right.
Will come up and they will meet the Lord in the sky. But what about those who never did receive Jesus or they were wicked, wicked, wicked? They won't come out of the grave
for
until
1,000 years.
A thousand years.
Yeah.
And then they will come up for their judgment, but yet they still won't just vanish off into spit.
Nope.
Of an air, you know, like dust. No, they will have everlasting punishment with the devil And his angels, because God didn't prepare hell for people, but the hell is increasing because there's more and more people, according to the Bible, that are going to be going to hell than are going to heaven.
They're going to be lost, that's right.
There's going to be many people lost, and they're just not going to go there and vanish. It says that there's going to be suffering forever, forever. So that means you're never going to die. We're going to be changed. Sure, we'll be in a different, we won't be walking around here in flesh and blood. It won't be like that, some of these silly shows you see on television, Walking Dead and all that garbage. No, but there are going to be people who are going to suffer. So you need to think about where you're going to spend the rest of your life.
Eternity,
This is just a portion of our life.
That's right.
See, this is just a portion of our life. This is like that first layer in this what you're talking about. But there's depths,
That's right.
There's depths, and we're going to be living somewhere, even after we leave this body, this fleshly body.
Somewhere for eternity, right?
That's right.
That's a
so
key
we
thing.
Need to think, where are you going to live? That's a good thing to say, right? Where are you going to live the rest of your life?
Yeah,
when you're witnessing?
Yeah.
Well, you're living now, but what are you going to do when you die? Where are you going to live the rest of your life? Well, they say, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, you know what? The Bible says there is a hell.
There's a hell. And it wasn't prepared for men. It was prepared for the angels. And
he
Satan,
says
the fallen
heaven.
Angels and Satan. So, but you think about what we're talking about. We never really die.
You never die.
And so what's the result of how we lived our life, the consequences of how we lived our life and who we look to for our Savior and all that will determine where we go.
I think that's why the Bible uses the word sleep.
Yeah.
Many places.
Yeah, because we're not really a dead.
When you go to bed and you go to sleep at night, you're not up walking around,
you're
right?
You're going to wake up one
you're
day.
Dream
the next
walking,
day, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But you're asleep. Well, this is another form of sleep. It's a deeper form of
That's
sleep.
Right.
Because, we're never going to die. So where are we going to, I'm asking everybody that's listening, and myself as well, where am I going to live the rest of my life?
That's right.
It's not how we begun the race. And you always say this, it's how we finish the race. And
not how we started, that's right.
Not how we started, but how we finish it. And Paul talked about finishing the race, didn't he, that was set before him. And he had a difficult race, and many people do. And there's many people in the world right now that are suffering for Christ, and they're having a difficult race. And they may be dying in the flesh, but they're not dead.
That's right. You got it. It's incredible.
Where are you going to spend the rest of your life?
That's an important question as we talk on this program. That's what we're here for, to open people's eyes. And you that are walking with the Lord. Some people have been walking with the Lord, but they're backslidden. They're living like the world does.
That's right.
They're doing the stuff they used to do, but they say, well, I know Jesus. Well, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. So what's coming out of their life? That's the thing. We talk about the parable of the sower of the seed. There's four types of soil that seed went in, okay? Well, I always thought this when I studied this years ago. Three of those seeds are going to fall away. It tells us that, okay? And so the fourth one is the only one that's the good one, really. And so you think about this. My thought with all this is the seed that we receive from the Word of God and spending time with the Lord, going to a good church, hearing the Word preached and all that, what is that seed in your heart going to produce out into the world? That's it. Jesus said what? He's God. He said what? You'll know them by their what? Their fruit that's coming out of their lives. So it's very important. So I always tell people this, that a head thought's not going to get it done. It has to be a heart change. We talk about that 17 inches from the top of your head down to your heart. It has to drop into your heart. Otherwise, nothing's going to happen. I mean, you can know all the stories in the Bible, and they're really not stories, they're events. You can know all that, and yet you cannot apply it to your own life and say, Lord, I need you more than my next breath because you are my next breath. And so this is important.
So God is love, but that's the other thing people
say. That's right.
God is love.
Oh.
He wouldn't send anybody to hell. Well, God is also a judge. And a godly judge will make the right decisions. Right now, we don't have too many, godly judges
in our
nation that are making
the right decisions
that are not according to the Word of God, because what? There's no fear of God in a lot of people. I'm not saying
there's
no fear in some people fear the Lord, but a lot of people there's just no fear in God, and even politicians, people are going to run for the presidency. Say they want to compromise the Word of God because they don't want to lose votes.
Or they want to
kind of make it look like, it can kind of go either way. They kind of wishy-washy, but because they don't want to offend anyone. They don't want to lose votes. But, if we do things God's way, God's the one, he says he's the one that's going to exalt somebody
that's
or bring
right.
them down. And God even puts He even put Pharaoh in place because he had to deliver the children of Israel. And at one point, they had a decent Pharaoh, you know, when Joseph was around.
Yeah.
But after Joseph died and after several hundred years left, you know, they didn't have a good Pharaoh.
They didn't know Joseph.
And God used that Pharaoh, even though he was a Pharaoh. He didn't say, well, I'm going to give him a good Pharaoh every year. No, he doesn't give you a good Pharaoh or a good president every year, or whenever their terms are going, these Pharaohs. This was a very mean Pharaoh, and it says that God hardened his heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so God dealt harshly with the Egyptians because of their treatment of the Jewish people.
That's right.
And so God hasn't changed. He's going to do the same thing. He's going to take care of those who come against Israel. And if our nation decides to not walk and not be in agreement with Israel, the only free nation in that area, right? Then, you know, we're going to suffer loss. Something will happen. God will judge America if we don't walk with Israel and be there. What the word would be?
Honor them.
Honor them. You know, love them.
Pray for them.
Pray for them.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
It says we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Not turn against them in any way, shape, or form. That's right. So God expects that.
But when we do come against that, then, you know, we're going to pay the price, because, you know, it even says, because we're reading the Torah portions and that the Jewish people read. And so I didn't see it, but a lot of people see these things as we're doing it together as a church. And one of the ladies in our church saw that, you know, even God even hardened the hearts of the people in Egypt to follow Pharaoh. Because most of them probably wouldn't have followed. They said, good, get them out of here. Let us have our land back. Let us, you know, have peace again. But no, Pharaoh was so determined to go and kill all the Egyptian, all the Jewish people.
True.
He needed an army. Well, it says that God even hardened the heart of the Egyptians to follow Pharaoh and to go after the Israelite children. So, you know, God is in control.
That's right.
He's going to take care of the nations, and he talks about taking care of the things about the nations. He's going to take care of every nation, even the nations that don't go up and worship. They're going to be judged. It won't rain on their land.
That's right.
You know, he is love, but, you know, he is a just God.
He's a just God.
He's
got. He's given us the truth, and that truth we have to walk in. And if we're out of that, there's going to be a judgment that comes. And he's clear.
People say, oh, well, you know, he's not mean. Fair. He's mean.
He just loves everybody.
He's not fair, you know. Well, you know, we don't know the Word of God, and that's why we just take one scripture, and that's all we know, or maybe that's all we want to know. That's all people want to know.
That's
God
right.
is love. Well, you know, that's true. God is love, but there's more.
The key thing is this: God does not send anybody to hell.
That's right.
He's already done the work almost 2,000 years ago. He gave His only begotten Son, the one that He loved so much, okay, and allowed Him to come to this earth and die for all of us, okay.
What more can we expect?
You know, so that was it. So He's already done the work. All we have to do is appropriate what He did, and we don't have to go to hell.
And Jesus even said, "It is finished."
That's right.
And Jesus even chose the time, you know, to show that, you know, as they were cutting the lamb's throat at the, right just right where he could see it, you know, right in the temple. You know, and the veil was, God ripped that veil that was so big that it would take teams of
horses. They couldn't rip it apart.
Oxen. But at that moment when Jesus died, Jesus said, "It is finished," and the veil was ripped. See, so you have two witnesses right here. The witness at the temple and the witness of Jesus saying, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost at 3 p.m.
In the afternoon.
Same time. They made the last offering.
There's our three again.
And that's right. Same time.
Yeah.
In time. And we're talking
right.
about matter, time, and he hung in space.
That's
he
right.
was the matter.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it was his time.
He hung in space.
And he hung in space.
Between heaven and earth,
Between heaven and earth. And there's your three again.
That's right.
Oh, God. Thank you, Lord.
Look at
How
this.
Can people not believe?
That's right. Let's look at the one thing here in Luke chapter 23. This is interesting. We're talking about threes. We got about almost 9 minutes here. I'm going to talk about the part where when Jesus was put on the cross, there was three people in this, what God gave us in the Word, on the crosses or the trees, okay? There was two thieves, and Jesus was in the middle of both of them. And it says this in verse 39, and one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Now, one of the other Gospels, it start with both of those men were mocking Jesus, okay? But this one man began to realize this. And so then it says in verse 41, the one that realized that Christ was who he said he was, he says, And we indeed justly, means we deserve what we have, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, okay? And but this man hath done nothing amiss. And then he said unto Jesus, listen, he says, Lord, he called him Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today, he didn't say in the future, he says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it shows about the darkness falling over the land and all that, and when he died at 3 in the afternoon. But here we have three people, don't we, Pastor Donna? It's kind of like the candelabra or the menorah. The middle one is a Seamus, which is a picture.
Yeshua.
So he was in the middle between these two men. Well, the one man began to realize that what Jesus had said when he was on this earth, that he began to believe that, and so he had a heart change. Now, we don't know what these two men's philosophy was before they were killed. You know, they caused a lot of problem in Jerusalem. That's why they were sentenced to die on a cross. But we don't know what their philosophy was. But they wanted someone to take over Jerusalem and establish the kingdom. But they couldn't do it on their own, and they found that out the hard way. But the one man refused to accept what Jesus came to do, and so we know he died, and he's probably lost. But the other man, he asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And so here we see this three again, okay?
The moment that Yeshua died, he was there in paradise with
Absolutely.
Abraham's bosom.
And okay? So was this man on the cross.
And when this man died, maybe an hour later, I don't know, then he was, can you imagine, Jesus is there in paradise.
Yep.
And say this man dies an hour later or whatever, because they broke
in.
Their bones, right?
Yep.
The ones that, because
mm-hmm.
they had to be off that cross because it was Passover.
Yeah.
And so, he walks in, and here he is in paradise with Jesus. And then the other one, he would be like Lazarus. He's right across the this big gorge, right?
Not Lazarus, talking about the rich man.
I mean the rich man, the rich man. He's across there, and he can see, like the rich man could see Abraham.
Yeah.
And he knew. He wasn't in the literal, there's different levels of hell, because the King James Bible uses the word hell. He was in not the lake
in
of
torment.
Fire, but he was in hell. In the torment, and
That's
there was
right.
fire around
all
his,
around
all
him.
Around his feet, and he was burning, and his mouth was hot. He
had all of his senses
for water, so he could feel.
He could see.
Mm-hmm. He had all his senses. He could feel. He could see. He could hear. He could probably hear all of the screaming in hell. So this is, and some people say, "Well, that's just a story."
No,
it's not. That's exactly how it was, and that was telling him. You know, he said, "Can go back," and he asked him to send Lazarus back to, because he was in Abraham's bosom. He was being held, right?
Yeah.
He was being comforted. He said, go back and tell
my family,
my brothers. And they said, well, if someone goes back from the dead, basically, you know, they're not going to
believe. They
wouldn't believe
That's right.
anyway.
So Jesus was talking about himself there.
Yeah.
So this is incredible to think about. So this is all the scripture showing us everywhere. We have a choice. The work was already done for us. And Donna read part of that over in John chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. But the work's already been done. So now, we got all these years, all we have to do is appropriate what was already done. The blood that he shed on Calvary washes away our sins if we'll come to him and make a commitment to him. Not some head thought, but in your heart. To be broken in your heart of the life that you live that's been contrary to the Word of God, and you want to be turned around and to start walking a new way. And so we thank the Lord for what he did on the cross on that day for all of us.
Thank you, Lord.
So that one man here, he was in paradise with Jesus that same day. They both went to a place called paradise, and we know that Jesus was down there for 3 days and 3 nights, and then what? He rose from the grave.
Glory.
And emptied that place out with
the
people that were righteous down there. Not their physical bodies, but their spirits and souls left with him.
Mm.
And so it's incredible to think about
what
God has given us. And so how can people turn this down? But I see a lot of people say, well, yeah, I know Jesus. And you look at their lifestyle and what they're going through and how they live and all the rest of that. Well, how could they be serving the Lord when they have this attitude and this dimension that they're walking in that's contrary to what God wants? And so the devil's there. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we know that Jesus came to give us what? Life, abundant life, and even more abundantly in everything that we do.
John 10:10.
In everything that we have. And so we have to consider all this when we think about this. And so there was a purpose for the whole thing that God had in the beginning, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we talk about this a lot on the program. You know, God was the one that had the plan. Jesus was the one God knew that no man on earth could fulfill that purpose. No man had ever not sinned. So God supplied himself a sin offering for us. And so Jesus came. And so the Father had the plan. Yeshua, Jesus, came and fulfilled that plan. And then the Father and the Son gave us the Holy Ghost. And he's the one that reveals all of it to the world. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your plan. We thank you for your plan. And so that's what the Holy Ghost was sent for. He was sent, it tells you in John 16, I think, he was sent to bring conviction of our sin. And the conviction of our sin and righteousness and judgment, showing that the conviction has to be that we're sinners and we have to have a righteous change in our life, and it can only come by the Messiah, Yeshua. We can't do it on our own. And if we don't make that decision, well, then our judgment will come. And so my heart is that no one would ever have to be thrown in that lake of fire, but the Bible says there's going to be many there. We talked about the parable of the sower. It looks like 3 out of 4 are not going to make it because Jesus told them the way to walk, and they didn't want to walk that way, you know, because the Bible says that, you know, that straight is the way that leads into the kingdom of God and all that. And so there's a broad way out here most people are walking in, and many thereby are going that way. They're going to be lost. But there's a narrow or a straight way that will lead into the kingdom of God, and that's through Yeshua. You have to come to him, walk with him, talk with him, spend your life loving him, and it'll change your whole outlook and your philosophy, whatever you were raised in, no matter what you went through, no matter what. You can be basically resurrected too, can't we? We're resurrected unto new life when we come to Jesus Christ. And so the past goes, all the hurts, all the thing, all the rejection, all the things that happen to us in the physical realm and all that growing up, that all passes away, and you become a new, not a creation, but a new creature in Christ Jesus, and all the old things pass away. So as we say, as you know, this program, as we're closing out, if someone has never asked Jesus to come in, this is a good day to think about it.
Thank you,
he
Lord.
He is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and life. And he said that no man cometh to the Father except by me. And he meant that. There's no other way. But we got all these thoughts in the world and all the stuff that's going on. But we just look to him. So if you haven't done that, all you have to do is bow your head today.
Thank you, Lord.
And just ask him to come into your life, and he'll forgive you your sin, and you can start over and have a new life.
Thank you, Lord.
We're running out of time. We're down to a minute here, Pastor Don.
Jesus said, I am the door.
That's right.
I am the door. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father God, we just thank you for this teaching, Lord God. We ask you to bless the people, Lord, and thank you that they have ears to hear what the Word of God is saying, and they get hungry for you.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. So this is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton. We're just blessed to be here every Saturday, Lord willing. We're also on the internet, WCNO.com, and you can reach us at area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007, and we have services here in Stuart, Florida. Just give us a call.
Amen. So as we close every week, we're here because we love people and we want to see them raised up to a new place, especially to be born again. So we tell you to look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the spirit of prophecy.